Welcome to Design Expressions, presented by Pacific Sales and Gen Air Luxury Appliances, a podcast about incredible interiors, experiential exteriors, and everything in between, inspired by those crafting exquisite spaces for those who seek them. I'm Sean Ayala, Marketing Manager at Pacific Sales, a kitchen and home, a Best Buy company.
And I am Fernando Marfil. I'm the lead for West Coast Luxury Appliances Gen Air. And welcome back to another episode.
Today's topic is entertaining kitchens from coast to coast, an exploratory look at residential and commercial hospitality. Does the idea of hospitality vary by geographic location? From California casual to Southern charm, Midwest friendliness to Florida hospitality, every local seems to have their own vision of hospitality. And if that is true, how does that affect kitchen design? This is a deep dive into regional hospitality and the effects on kitchen design.
We have not one, but two fabulous guests. And I'm so happy to introduce them. Hi, Christine. Hi, Alex. But let's start with Christine Broom. She's a fabulous designer. She's extraordinary, well-known in the industry, powerhouse phenomenon, right? She's been impressing LA design for many, many years. Since she was 16 years old. It's amazing the curriculum that she has. So Christine, I'm so happy to have you. And she has actually developed, you know, this sought after design expression that she has brought to the table. And I'm willing to hear more about it. She's very versatile. Her design sensibility, I mean, I've seen some of her projects. It's amazing. So Christine, welcome to the conversation. And of course, on the other side, we have the amazing Alex Alonso, the founder, creative principal of Mr. Alex Tate. Hey, Alex, how are you? After years in media and entertainment on both, you know, coasts across the country and travel around the world, he has launched a studio that embraces global perspective and celebrates the power of storytelling. Can't wait to learn more about it. Alex was recently on Bravo, by the way, TV hit design competition series, and the best room wins. Hopefully you've seen it. I was trying to check it out, but you can tell us more about it, Alex. So actually, his transitional room design experience is what I want to learn more about. So Christine, Alex, welcome to the conversation. We're so excited to have you over.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's start off with Christine. Christine, with an early start in the SoCal design community, tell us a little bit more about just the early start.
So my early start, I worked for a designer when I was 16. She was actually my dad's ex-girlfriend. And I kept in touch with her. And I was like, I want to be an interior designer. And I remember going on dial-up and trying to type an interior designer. And I was like 11. And I like spelled it wrong. You know, I didn't know anything about it. And I just kept in touch with her, and she kind of took me on when I was 16 and, you know, had me label pillows and ink in her hand drawings and different things like that. And then I just sort of climbed the ladder with her, went to design school, and then left and started my own company in a nutshell.
Wow. So started your own company, started from the beginning. And you were very young when this happened. Incredible. I mean, like, I can't imagine me even trying to start something like super early, but very cool.
I mean, it starts with like picking paint, right? You're like, I'll do anything, you know? I mean, this was like my life. I mean, I knew this was my passion. I really can't, even to this day, I just can't picture myself doing anything else. So this is my field. And I just started like, what do you need me to do? You know, I'll do
that's
it.
Key.
Yeah.
Having the passion, you know, that's really what drives that eye, that design, right? Just having that element to really complement, you know, what you're looking for to do. So amazing, amazing background, Christine. Thank you. Alex, I have a question for you. I was mentioning about your storytelling background and how you actually bring that forward into your design. So tell us more about how you actually create the narrative on the work that you do when it comes to storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to work in entertainment for almost 10 years in LA. And ever since I was a child, I always was drawn to great stories, movies. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. So anything that was like fantastical or just, you know, had a great storyline, whether it was believable or not, made a lot of sense to me. So so when I was fortunate enough to work in entertainment, I was on the marketing side, but I always stayed very, very close to the script writers and the showrunners and things like that. And so for me, I was always drawn to like, how can you tell a story, not as it's written on paper, but how it unfolds visually. And having worked in Hollywood or in entertainment, you always stay kind of, you stay very close to the visual medium. And I'd always been passionate about design ever since I was a child. And I always loved looking at shows or movies and just kind of unpacking, you know, like what was in the background. You know, the storylines were great, but, you know, how did that story fit into how these characters lived in that space? So so when I started my own studio, I took that to heart. You know, I think everyone has a story, very diverse, and I'm a very curious person. So I'll ask you 50,000 questions, right? I don't want to talk about myself. I want to talk about you. And so that leads me to just kind of, you know, get a little bit more detail and information about how people consume their the spaces that they live in, right? What are the patterns that they use in their daily life? So when I start to kind of put a design together, I really kind of take all that into spirit and start to build a narrative based off of that. You know, and I love to build a story of who these people are, right? Like, you know, they wake up every morning, they have, you know, a rat race, or actually a lot of our clients don't have a rat race. They don't really care. But the reality is, you know, if you're fortunate enough to work with some of those clients, they have a completely different lifestyle than what you're used to, right? Whether they're traveling constantly, or they're just homebodies that just want to enjoy their space with their family, and they work from home and they've got great businesses and things like that. It's a very different dynamic on how all of us use our space. So I always make it a point to really just have a long, deep conversation with clients early on about not just design and what they love and what they don't love, but who they are, where they come from, what their background is. And sometimes it may feel a little bit intrusive, but everyone loves to talk about themselves, except for me. I really don't. But so it's easy to get people to open up, right? Especially if you're going to be embarking on this long journey with them. And design, as Christine will probably tell you, is a journey, right? With a lot of these clients. Sometimes you're working with them for 3 months. Sometimes it's 3 years. And you learn about a lot about them, sometimes more than you really need to know. But you do, right? So what you do with that information is kind of what... where the beauty of the design comes in.
Very cool. And then, so I want to throw this over to Christine too, because I think just based on this storytelling aspect, I mean, when you're working with clients, they have this vision, right? This vision that you can't really tell or see just yet, but they're really giving this up to you and hoping that you can bring their visions to life. Christine, what is that process for you? How do you take that out of your clients to bring something to life for them?
Yeah, that's, you know, that I feel like that's the part of design that kind of goes under the radar, because it's all about the design. But without the back story, there really isn't a design, right? We could go in as designers and just make something beautiful, and it will mean nothing to someone. You know, it'll be like, oh, this, you know, great environment. But when you're designing for someone, and you're trying to kind of gauge their lifestyle, grasp like how they live, what they do, like what that looks like is step one. So, I mean, same with Alex, I start the same way. I mean, it first starts with conversation. Like, you just want to get to know them as people. You want to know, you know, their sense of humor and just, you know, if they have kids. And I mean, all of that stuff is just more conversational and less like, okay, what colors speak to you? You know, that's sort of secondary. And it also, they might not even know what they like, you know? So I think our job is to find who you are as a person, like, and then we would know more than they what they like, in a way. I mean, that sounds sort of, you know, ironic, but I mean, they might see something on Pinterest or House or wherever they saw it, you know, Instagram, and they're just shooting us photos of a beautiful picture, but they don't even really know exactly what that is. So I think it's our job to figure out, you know, like Alex was saying, just the story behind the people and then go from there.
And I think part of it too, which is interesting, is that they're choosing you for a reason, right? Like they're choosing Alex, they're choosing Christine. So like Alex, you had mentioned you're a child of the 80s. Do you find yourself bringing some of that that era to any of the style that you bring based on what the client is doing? Like does a part of you live in within any of the projects you work on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think apart from, I think being a part of a child who grew up in the 80s, we witnessed so much, right? So much change. I think from the 70s to the 80s, it was a completely different decade. And if anything, it gives us, a lot of our clients are pretty much around that same age, maybe 10 years older or things like that, you know, give or take a few. So it gives us a really good common ground to discuss. Our references can be the same, you know, like whether it's a song or whether it's, you know, TV shows that we watch and things like that. It kind of can take us instantly back to that moment, right? Than if you're designing for like an uber successful millennial, you know, and that sort of stuff, which it's different, right? So it takes you in a different direction. But I think for the most part, when you've kind of grown up in that time where creativity, I felt, was just so expanse, right? So much happened in the 80s, whether it was video games and cartoons, and it was just like this, you've unopened this creativity of just like, oh my God, whatever, the sky's the limit. I think that kind of gives you a lot of creative license, right? You know, Lisa Frank, oh my God, so much color. But at the same time, I'm an immigrant, right? I was born in Cuba. I left when I was 3 years old. So I grew up in a family where what little we had, you kept. And so I think that's led me down this path of this sort of maximalist slash hoarder mentality, if you will, where like I attribute a certain fondness to something, you know, and that's where I find the stories. And I always tell clients like, oh, don't get me started on it. I'll find a story. I'll fall in love with anything. Like I will collect and curate anything. Just tell me a good story and I'm there, right? Blue and White. Oh my God, rabbit hole on Blue and White. You know, so you just send me down the path and I'm there, right? So I think for me, it's a little bit about kind of finding that common ground with the clients. And I think having grown up in that period of time where so much I think was colorful and different, has kind of led me to this very curious sort of path of designing with my clients. And I think that's kind of where I naturally gravitate, right? I try to find the value in everything, even though it's like, it might be junk. I'm like, oh my God, so beautiful. We can send it. And they're like, no, it's junk. I'm like, okay, well, can I keep it? And which I do sometimes, but whatever. I mean, I'm not a hoarder. I'm really not, but I do like to collect.
Yeah, definitely, you know, an era can influence so much. But how about geography? I would like to see how, you know, from coast to coast, right? From Southern California to like Florida, for example, how is the inspiration behind, you know, those regions really comes to mind when telling a story? And that's for you, Alex or Christine. Tell me about how geography affects, you know, the actual design or the storytelling that you are producing for those clients. Is there a sense of hospitality that changes from region to region, for example?
Yeah, if I could answer, just to start. I just recently had a client I was working with, and they're from Georgia, and they moved here and they bought a place and they were having trouble fitting, not fitting in, but having trouble finding friends and feeling comfortable. They were like, you know, I went to Starbucks and it's like, no one holds the door for you. I'm carrying four drinks, you know? And it was funny to me. I mean, I was born on the East Coast and then I came here when I was young. And so I'm, you know, a Californian at this point, but I kind of identified with that. And it was interesting. Like a lot of our conversation was about hospitality. It was about, you know, well, I want my kitchen to feel like it can house like a bunch of guests and we can just mingle around the island. And I want it to feel like home. And it was a lot of, and even some little like tchotchkes that I know she kind of brought in once we did our install was like very homey, you know, they're like little signs about coffee and just different. And I know people obviously do that here, but the way that she was like Southern and she brought that like Southern charm with her. And she was like a little confused by the LA way. So I think that it definitely, you know, changes from region to region. I mean, of course the styles are different. Like if you're designing a brownstone or if you're designing, you know, like a farmhouse or a ranch home or a tall and skinny in the beach. People tend to want different things in those different areas.
Yeah. And I would agree. And I think in the, because of Instagram and because of social media and because of just the internet in general, it's so much easier to see something that is a California design, quote unquote, and fall in love with it. If you live in Miami or if you live in Texas, or if you live in Texas and you're all, you know, and shiplap is the thing and, you know, and you see it and you live like in Omaha, whatever, you're like, oh my God, I want shiplap. So all of that just kind of tends to have a very global, you know, sort of just reach just by the time we're living it. Right. And so I think that many times we have clients who move in from New York or from Chicago or from the UK. And I think they naturally gravitate towards us in Miami, not because we can reflect that Miami look, if you will, because I've got a lot of beef with the Miami look. It's minimalist, it's white, it's glossy, it's neutrals, it's all that good stuff. And I'm like, I'm so over it. I've never been about that. I appreciate it when it's done really, really well. But I feel like there's so much more than that, you know, especially from Miami. So I've had clients who move in from New York, where the sensibility is so completely different, right? It's a touch traditional. They love a little bit more layered. But they're looking for balance, right? They don't want it to feel heavy. They still want that whole Miami sort of vibe to feel light and airy, but somehow still feel character filled. So for us, we use regionalities as, you know, as a way of kind of bringing in reference points for the client, you know, like what is going to make their home feel really special. We had a client once tell us, like, my gosh, we're looking for designers. And we scrolled and it looked like everyone was designing the same room, you know. Arguably that happens to be the case in Miami. I think California, I think LA is very different. It's a completely different animal with so much diversity. And I think Miami is diverse, but in a different way, right? I think New York is, every market is very different. So the nuances of the market, I think, are very important. But I think it really depends on what your interpretation of that regionality is, right? And I think that's kind of what makes Christine's designs different from mine, right? If we were supposed to do a California modern space, they're going to look different. Hers, or yeah. Mine may be a little bit more maximalist, and hers may be, I don't know. I know it's going to be beautiful, but it could be more boho if that's the way she wants to go with it, versus mine may be just a little bit heavier, a little bit moodier, whatever. So that's just kind of how we would interpret that sort of look, if you will. So I think regionalities are really important, but I think social media, Instagram, has kind of, and Pinterest, my gosh, has really kind of made our jobs take on that level of that added layer of just like, oh, I like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So keeps it interesting.
That's a really,
go ahead.
Sorry, Fernando, because that's a really good point. I mean, when I think about social media and how social media have made the gap a little bit smaller for your clients to come in and say, I want this, 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 and this. Geography at this point, I would assume in some cases gets thrown out the window because they like 20 different things. How do you manage that with your clients? And we'll start with Christine and we'll move over to Alex because I want to hear both of your point of views. But how do you manage just that when you're thinking about geography, like you're in Florida, but you know, this person likes 10 different features all across different places. Do you manage that in a specific way?
So that's actually, I've been talking about this lately because I find that it's been a big challenge, like just as it's getting, you know, stronger. And like, even people are like, oh, I saw this in TikTok, you know, I'm like, we're doing TikTok now. Like you're bringing me some TikToks. I mean, the problem I'm seeing is that, how do I phrase it? It's like when you're not satisfied with your choices almost because there's something better and you see something different and it's harder for a client, I feel, to land on the finals if they're constantly seeing. So like once we make a decision, I'm like, okay, stop going online.
Turn off everything.
Turn it off. Like your bedtime situation, not including Pinterest, you know, because I see, and if I'm like attached to someone's, you know, links in some way, I see as they're doing, I can see in real time as they're linking me. And I'm like, oh my God, I thought we discussed the kitchen, you know? So it's just, I think it's been a big challenge because it's there's just so much and I find it really overwhelming. And so there's always the next best thing, the next greatest design, the next, like, there's a better light, there's a better this, there's a, and there honestly is, you know, but you hire a designer to create a cohesive look that, and can we do it 500 different ways? We absolutely can. If you came to us and said, hey, we need to do, you know, I really want a modern space. I mean, that might not even, their version of modern might not even be mm-hmm. modern, right? Because there's so much out there, they're getting feedback. Oh, I just want modern farmhouse. And you're like, okay. I mean, what does that really look like to you, you know, versus what it actually is? So yeah, that's sort of my take on the social media. I mean, it does, everything gets thrown out the window. Cause I saw this pretty thing from, you know, Studio McGee, or I saw this thing from, you know, whoever it may be. Mm-hmm. And then they're just stuck on it. And we kind of have to figure out, what is it about this image that you actually like? Is it the cohesiveness? Is it the metal and the wood? Is it the color of the white? You know, almost like playing detective in a way, because we can do that, but why would we want to just copy, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of where I stand on that one.
Alex, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think early on, and I think the longer you work in the industry, I'd like to think that the better we get as designers in terms of sifting out clients who are ready to make decisions versus going on an expedition, right? And we've had clients where we work with them for 6 months and you go through countless options of things and you're like, okay, we're not making any progress here at all. And you have to cut that off, right? It's like, you're not ready for this process, right? So I think when you've established that early on, you can hopefully move quicker along. But like Christine said, it's very hard to get them to turn it off and just make a decision on certain things. So I always tell them, it's like, listen, you're always going to find, like Christine said, a better light, a better wallpaper, a different fabric of this. You're going to fall in love every other day. Heaven knows we fall in love every other second, because we see beautiful things, you know, we see beautiful things all day long. Mm-hmm. So I usually tell them, like, there's a difference between Mr. Right and Mr. Right Now. And right now we're talking about Mr. Right Now. So you can fall in love after we've finished this engagement. You can redo it if you'd like, but Mr. Right Now is inhabiting the space right now. And that's kind of what we need to focus on. Because otherwise you end up with a project that goes on for months and months and months, money goes out, you know, time goes out, and then you're like, and they get frustrated at the end. And it's like, oh God, we haven't made any progress. But you do have to be forceful and say, we're making a decision, we're moving forward, we're closing the book, turning the page, whatever you want to call it. And I think once you have those frank conversations with the clients, I think they start, sometimes for some of them, they start to click. For other ones, you realize they really don't really have much of anything else to do other than just sit and talk to you about beautiful colors and patterns, at which point, hopefully, you've negotiated a really good retainer on that. But beyond that, you know, you typically find clients who want to complete the project, you know, and you, whether you have to guilt them into it, it's like, yeah, we need to do our marketing shoot. Yeah, no, we're running out of time here. You know, that kind of pushes them along. Or do you really want to spend another 4 months in that rental that, you know, you've now just caught more money. So there are ways, you just have to find what that point is to kind of get them to start making decisions. Because listen, no one on this podcast will agree with you more than it's a beautiful journey of discovery. Every time you open up a magazine, you scroll through an Instagram feed, there's so many beautiful things out there. You just have to realize, like Christine said, that it's about decoding what the clients are telling you that they love about those spaces. Because many times nobody lives like the pages or like the images on Instagram. Nobody lives like that. That's a complete farce. I mean, like, we're recreating it right now. I'm at a photo shoot right now for one of our marketing shoots, and it's styled the way that we would want to tell the story. But I mean, are we really going to put a lot of the things away? No, we're obviously doing it to create an effect, to give you a sneak peek in terms of what the mood of the space is supposed to convey. You know, but I think many people fall in love with, oh my God, I saw this image on Instagram, or I'm like, hey, nobody lives like that. Like, let's be real. Nobody does. Their walls will never stay that clean. The floors will never be that, the walls are going to be scuffed. Like, I mean, it's the reality of it. So I think that's just part of the overall journey with the clients. You just kind of have to educate them about that. And all of this is rooted in making decisions.
I would like to transition into the topic of kitchen design, specifically since general appliances, specific sales, you know, we specialize in appliances. And one of the things that we would like to know is how the kitchen design changes from space to space, or from actually geography location, right? From Florida to Southern California, going back to that specific entertainment type of space. And especially over the last couple of years, we've seen a complete, you know, change on the design of the kitchen space. So what are some elements that you are seeing or including into your design? Maybe some trends that you're being asked, you know, from your customers to integrate? What are some of the technology that you're actually seeing as well that has really changed the way this kitchen design is taking place? So why don't we start with you, Christine? Any feedback that you can give us on what you have experienced so far in that space?
Yeah, first I want to say I love Gen Air, and the black interior on the refrigerator is blowing my mind. I've used it a couple of times now, and I just wanted to say that because I know you're Gen Air, and I think it's so beautiful. And it kind of, the brand, we're not talking about this, but the brand totally shifted, and I'm like, I'm loving it. So anyway, just want to point that out. Second, so what I'm seeing more in the kitchen are, I think, extra needs. Like I'm seeing a lot of double dishwashers. I'm seeing a lot of like trinkets, you know, a lot of microwave drawers and, you know, espresso maker, built-in espresso makers, everything hidden. We want to panel the whole thing. We don't want to see stainless, you know, we don't want to see kind of that industrial feel or those like a lot of metal. I'm just seeing a lot of that maybe on the West Coast, but I think, you know, the trend as far as kitchen trends, there's been a lot of whites, neutrals, natural woods, kind of going away from like the painted island and the perimeter, you know, the contrasting perimeter tops and, you know, countertops and all of that. So I'm seeing that people need to be in their kitchen. They're seeing the need to be in their kitchen and how best to function in that space. And so it's not just about, I want a beautiful kitchen anymore. It's more about, okay, well, my dishes are overflowing and how do I eliminate that? And how do I keep my countertop really clean? So how do I, you know, maybe make a specific space for the toaster or the blender or, you know, in that way. And then the design sort of flows off of that. So maybe we do like a cool retractable pantry or something like that. So there's a lot of tricks. I'm seeing more tricks, tricked out kitchens. And then as far as like texture and palettes, you know, the whole Zeelage came into play and everything is like a beautiful, natural, glossy, lots of like terracotta and not necessarily in color, but just in feel. So it's a little more, in my opinion, casual than formal. But still trying to keep that upscale feel.
So a multi-purpose space, right? That they are using for working, for entertaining. But I was actually on the entertainment side. I keep hearing that the kitchens are getting bigger now. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Kitchen's getting bigger. Pantry's getting bigger. The pantry is now becoming a room. You know, like people look at these magazine photos or, you know, and they're all like decked out with the, you know, I'm sure a professional organizer will come in and sort of do the baskets and the glass jars and the whole thing. And people are loving that. But I think the, like you were just saying, I mean, even with like outlet locations, well, where am I going to plug in my laptop? You know, the islands are huge. I mean, I just did like a 16-foot island and I'm like, you know, I mean, this is really long. It's like a sushi bar. But I think just knowing that the kitchen is really they say the kitchen is the heart of the home, right? But it actually really is. I mean, people are, they just migrate there. So yeah, working, hanging out, having a, you know, having some cocktails, eating together, cooking together, it's all in the same space. And then with COVID kind of, you know, coming in, people are realizing, oh my gosh, I have to eat, sleep, work, and live in this space. So I need it to not only function well, but I want it to look really beautiful.
That makes sense. Yeah, spot on. I mean, everything that you just mentioned, we're seeing those trends. Even like, you know, the butler space as well, yeah, is coming back, right?
Yeah.
And they're adding a lot of appliances or just the beverage center, right? Like you mentioned, the built-in coffee maker with the under counter. There is so many appliances, you know, that are going into the kitchen. Before it was the traditional 4 to 6 pieces. Now we're seeing like 10, 15 different appliances in one kitchen, which is amazing, right? For a brand like Gen Air. But of course, yeah, there is so much technology out there that you can actually bring and make your life, you know, actually complement the lifestyle of that consumer.
We're actually doing, yeah, sorry, one thing. We're actually doing a lot of dirty kitchens. Have you been seeing those? There's like a perfect kitchen, and then there's like a dirty kitchen. And, you know, with like a super high CFM blower, like it's like big hood, big range in the back. Huh? And then out front, you're all tailored and put together. And so there's the pantry with the, you know, butler's pantry and the dirty kitchen and maybe a second kitchen on the like game, you know, level if it's like a big home. So
anyway. Absolutely. Especially Southern California, huge market for the dirty kitchens. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We offer, you know, like, for example, the high output BTUs gas. But of course, you know, with sustainability, we're introducing even induction wok, which is very unique, you know, for us, for example, and just having the high CFM, but also, you know, like you say, it's keeping that space for the real cooking and then the front kitchen to be more of the entertainment space, the pretty space, right? So great feedback. Alex, how about you? What are you seeing out there?
You know, similarly, I mean, I think I find that clients, before conversations about kitchens were, I mean, they took a minute, right? You know, you talked about it quite a bit and you want to make sure you had the right appliances and things like that. But I feel clients want to spend a lot of time talking about kitchens. It's an investment area for them. It's a huge investment area for them. You could say that you could remodel bathrooms, you know, like every 7 years or 10 years, whatever, but a kitchen you want to live with for a while. You know, it takes a long time. It's a huge disruption to your family when you are remodeling them. So they want to make sure that they're getting it right. So I find that clients are definitely talking a lot about storage. Like Christine said, making sure that it's not all visible. I mean, the open shelving and all that good stuff. I mean, it had its moment, but I think people want clean. They want to hide their clutter. They're spending more time at home. So they definitely are using their kitchens more often. But I think technology is really important as well, right? They're doing a lot more research in terms of the products that are out there. And they're very keen on the nuances. For example, like Christine mentioned, like the black interior. I thought that was a game changer, right, for you guys. I really did. And I think clients pick up on those details and those nuances, you know, and we love that they come to the table with that, you know, with that knowledge already. Because sometimes you're like, oh, what do you want? They don't, you know, you don't know what kind of oven you want, what type of thing you want. No, we have clients who are just like down to the BTUs. They know exactly what they want. They know exactly what the wattage of the microwave they want. I mean, they're just so much smarter. And that really just, it makes the process go so much quicker because they appreciate it. And that's what I love. I love that they appreciate the details in, you know, the craftsmanship of the products. They're smart about the brands that they're coming to the table with, and they know what they want. They want it to be either connected and things like that and Alexa capable, whatever, all those crazy sort of things sometimes. But some clients will say like, I don't need any of that sort of stuff. That for me might be a little bit gimmicky. I don't live in my kitchen that way. So I don't need those features. I want it to be a really super strong, you know, super strong burners and things like that. And I need a huge refrigerator. I need a couple of refrigerators and things like that. And so, like Christine said, we are noticing a lot of multiples. You know, people want like two dishwashers and sometimes it's two fridges or two freezers and things like that. The other trend we're seeing is people building secondary kitchens away from the actual kitchen, right? So they definitely want an outdoor kitchen that's well outfitted. But they may also want something else on the second story if, you know, the master suite or the primary suite is built out in a way that they can accommodate. They want their coffee stations in there. They want a fridge there. They want a sink there. So they want that a little bit more accessible to them because they're going to be spending a little bit more time in their room when they wake up because they're working from home. They start doing emails earlier than they did before when they had to, like, you know, go to the office. So we find that people are finding ancillary places to build kitchens as well throughout the house, which I think is kind of interesting and provocative. So
very cool. And then so it had me thinking about just tech. I know we mentioned tech and I would love to get this just in like a sound bite. Like each of you guys is like, I don't know, I'll make it up. Top five, like what are the top must have tech elements in the kitchen today? I'll start with you, Christine.
Thought. Tech elements. Okay. The preheat from your phone, right? Preheating your oven from your phone. People love that. I would say a tricked out coffee maker, something kind of built in. I would say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not doing quick.
Is touch an element at all?
Yeah, I would say a little bit. Yeah, you may need to prompt me here. I would also say the whole Wi-Fi hood going on. Mm-hmm. They love that. And I know there's like a lot, for some reason, my mind's going on dishwashers because there's all this like drying, you know, just like different. I think the more, the merrier in a way. And like Alex said, not for everyone, but for the majority of people, it's like they'll pay more if it has more features.
Mm. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I'd say anything that you can control with your supercomputer that sits in your palm. I think hands down trumps anything else. People want convenience. They want to know that they can toggle from one thing to the other and turn the lights off, but also turn their oven on or preheat, like Christine was saying. I think all of those things just become wickedly important. Anything that can find its way to your hand in the form of your phone, I think is really, really cleverly, anything that's app-based, I think people gravitate towards and they're naturally curious about, because they do see an added value to that simplifying things. I definitely do see clients want, being able to charge their phones a little bit more seamlessly and things like that without having to do the wall plugs. And, you know, everyone's kind of looking for ways to unclutter the space, but add more into it. So we're adding more in, but we still want to keep it kind of clean and streamlined and kind of hidden. You know, it's kind of like the magic behind the curtain, you know, like the things you don't want to see, but that needs to be there, right? So I think those, how technology, I always find that technology should never feel like a gimmick. You know, it should just naturally flow from the product. It's a tool, you know, it's not going to solve all your problems, but it should be there to fill or to answer a question or a need, right? Not just because, oh, it's cool, let's put a TV in front of your, in front of your microwave. I don't know that anyone would ever do that. Hopefully not, because that's kind of crazy. But you know, someone may come up with it because they think it's like a really good game. I'm like, well, did anyone really ask for that? You know, like, I don't really know. But again, we have to kind of, it's a really interesting time to be working in spaces like kitchens, I think, because people have such a strong opinion about what they want, what they don't want. So and they're spending so much time into it. So I think like market research in kitchens has got to be like, you know, through the roof in terms of people are just spending so much more time at home that I feel that everyone's going to have an opinion on what they want and what they feel that they need. You know, and I think that's kind of what makes it exciting. You know, it's a really good conversation to have.
Don, what a fantastic conversation we've had with our guests today. Christine, Alex, we learned so much. And thank you so much, of course, for being here with us today. But I wanted to take a couple minutes here. And why don't we actually really introduce where clients can find you, to our listeners, if they're interested in working with Christine or Alex. Christine, where can they find you? How can they contact you if they're interested in working with you?
Yeah, I'm Christine Vroom at ChristineVroomInteriors.com and at Christine Vroom on Instagram. So makes it nice and easy.
Yeah, my name is Alex Alonso from Mr. Alex Tate Interior Design. So pretty easy, MrAlexTate.com and based out of South Florida. But as I'm sure Christine will tell you, if you've got a good project, we're willing to travel.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Well, of course, you know, there's going to be additional links to our listeners where you can actually learn more about Christine and Alex and where to contact them. But I wanted to thank you for your time today and for joining us in another episode of Design Expressions presented by Pacific Sales Engineer. It was an amazing conversation. We learned a lot. And of course, Sean, is there any closing comments you would like to say?
No, we appreciate both of you. Thank you for everything that you both do for the community and taking some time to give back in this form. We appreciate you both. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.